Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Robert Ruiz, product management director responsible for strategy and business growth of several verification products at Synopsys. Robert has held various marketing and technical positions for leading functional verification and test automation products at various companies, including Synopsys, Novus Software, and ViewLogic Systems. He has more than 30 years of experience in advanced EDA technologies and methodologies, and spent several years designing ASICs. Welcome back to the podcast, Robert.
Thanks, Daniel. Good to be back.
So today we're talking about functional fault simulation for manufacturing tests. So let's start out. What is functional fault simulation?
Okay, first good question, because who wants a non-functional simulator, right? Let me break this down into two parts, fault simulation and functional. And first I'll start with the fault simulation part. So fault simulator is basically a simulation of faults. So I really need to explain what faults are. And faults are simply models for silicon defects, right? So EDA tools run on models. They don't actually run on the defects themselves, but rather with these mathematical models. Some examples could be if a wire is tied to ground. That is a fault in the design. And the simulator sees what happens with the effect on the design of that grounded wire and simulates the effect. Why do this, by the way? This is typically the way to measure the ability of patterns to find defective silicon. So if that fault was really, in fact, a tie to ground, then the patterns that capture this fault would capture it on the actual silicon. So it's a way to measure quality of the patterns on defective silicon or the quality of the manufacturing test. Now, the other part is functional. And functional refers to user patterns, that is the user patterns which are exercising functionality of the design. And this is in contrast to structural tests such as LogicBIST or ATPG tools, which generate patterns but don't care about the functional aspect of the design.
Right. Didn't ATPG tools eliminate the need for fault simulation of functional patterns?
Well, most teams have always use functional patterns. In ATPG modes, there are bits of the circuit or logic that are not testable. For example, there could be some bypass logic. ATPG clocks, for example, generally use some bypass logic, which stops the normal clock. So a test mode clock or ATPG mode clock can be used instead. Now, one effect of this is that there are several faults then that cannot be tested by the ATPG tool. In fact, I recall speaking to a customer who had generated high coverage with their ATPG tool, and it turns out they had defective silicon. And the reason for the defective silicon was because they forgot to test the normal functional clock. It had always been in bypass mode when the ATPG patterns were applied to the silicon. So most customers have always relied on some amount of functional patterns. There are some studies that show that functional patterns can actually capture some types of defects, which are very difficult to model, right? Model with a fault. In fact, there may be no fault model used to describe or portray the defect for the ATPG tool. And so there's another reason to run some additional functional patterns to capture some defects that may not be modeled. So bottom line is that functional patterns have always generally been used, and they're definitely needed for very high fault coverage, which means very high silicon test quality.
Right. So are there segments that need the high fault coverage versus others that do not?
Well, everyone would like high fault coverage. Let me make that statement up front. With that said, what we see is that there are certain segments that definitely require very, very high quality, which generally means very high fault coverage. Some examples of those are safety critical type designs, automotive, and say medical. In fact, automotive customers are targeting very high quality. So they tend to measure quality in terms of defect levels. or DPPM, defective parts per million. And automotive customers are targeting less than one defective part per million. In fact, they're at the 600 to 800 DPPB, B for billion. So looking for just a handful of defective designs in the shipment of billion parts. And this is because their end customers are expecting that amount of quality or quality level. So those are the safety critical type of applications that require very high fault coverage. Now, with that said, there could be some designs that use a very mature process, for example, over 100 nanometers. Those processes have been around for decades, and they're very stable. Some coverage is needed, but possibly not as high of a coverage level. There are some mathematical relationships between yield and defect coverage and fault coverage. And therefore, it might be possible to get away with a little bit less fault coverage. And we see that happening in some cases. On the other hand, some of those designs at those mature process nodes may have a small amount of digital and therefore not have any scan, not meaning not using any ADVG tools, and they're solely reliant on functional patterns for test. So yes, most customers do want high fault coverage. There's a handful of cases, maybe not as much.
You know, as I mentioned to you privately, I worked for Zycad years and years ago. So I do have understanding of fault simulation. But, you know, what's new? I mean, what are today's challenges for EDA in advancing fault simulation technology?
Yeah, so there are several challenges, actually. So the responsibility for creating functional patterns, of course, lies with the verification teams. And verification teams are very good at creating tests very efficiently for checking the functionality of the design and dealing with different languages, system Verilog, for example, and simulator and using advanced software simulator techniques. However, there's a challenge, there has been a challenge on bringing those type of functional patterns to the tester and to fault simulation technologies. You know, as you had mentioned, look, there had been sources of other fault simulation technologies that weren't designed for verification teams. And as a result, there were limitations. Perhaps the older fault simulation technologies couldn't fully understand the Verilog language, let alone the system Verilog language. So some of the challenges have been how to adapt what verification engineers do and the tools and the language they use and be able to reuse that for fault simulation. So that's been some of the key challenges. And where Synopsys has invested is take that golden simulator, VCS, and apply that for fault simulation. And therefore, all of the test benches that are created can be reused. So a lot of the challenges has been getting useful functional patterns from kind of the standard set of regression tests on that. And Synopsys has invested quite a bit on being able to make that happen. You know, there is one other area I should mention, which is also supporting different fault models. So as I mentioned, the importance of fault model emulating defects. Well, it's been important to keep introducing new type of fault models as more emerging nodes introduce new types of defects and therefore require new types of fault models. And to that end, it's been necessary for fault simulation to keep in sync with the latest fault simulation fault models, which have mainly been driven by ATBG teams. For example, some of the latest type of fault models in use is something called cell-aware, where the defect is defined as inside of the library cell. And for the VCZOIX fault simulator from Synopsys, we've made sure to sync up with our ATBG team so cell-aware fault models can be reused within the fault simulator.
Are there areas beyond manufacturing tests that fault simulation is being used today?
There sure are. So I can think of two areas. One is functional safety, and we've seen a rise in use of fault simulation over the last 4 or 5 years. In fact, it's been a huge rise in use as teams are trying to understand what is the effect of a fault being introduced into a design that should be behaving well, but for some unknown reason, perhaps a alpha particle disrupting a state in a register? And what is the effect on the safety? Does the circuit recover in a safe manner? Does it go into some unsafe state and maybe apply a signal that accelerates the car? So these are applications where fault simulation has seen good application, right? Where customers are using the technology to determine how the circuit responds and what type of what they call diagnostic coverage is provided. And diagnostic coverage is the ability for the circuit to detect that some unsafe condition has occurred and to be able to recover. So functional safety is one area where there's high amount of use today. Another area where we see growing is also for security. So there's an important need to determine if data is leaking through parts of the circuit where it should not be going to because of security reasons. So fault simulation is a good way to sort of emulate the flow of data throughout the circuit and to monitor that. And that is an emerging area of usage of fault simulation.
Yeah, that makes sense. Final question, Robert. What's the vision or future of fault simulation?
So the future for fault simulation is always going to include speed. Verification teams and fault simulation teams always need greater speed, and our customers certainly appreciate that. And then related to that is greater capacity. But what's exciting is the application or potential application of automating certain aspects of increasing the fault coverage provided by functional patterns. It's not very easy for designers to determine how to increase the coverage, and there's potential of applying certain types of technologies to give hints on how to increase the fault coverage in the area. So it's an exciting time where there's potential for, say, machine learning or other types of techniques to provide feedback and potentially even automate the process of generating the functional patterns to really get that high coverage, which is needed for today's type of designs.
Thank you, Robert. Again, great conversation. Love to have you back anytime. And hopefully we can talk to you a little bit more about manufacturing and test.
Great. Thanks a lot, Daniel.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.